All right, well, let's get to it. Ephesians chapter number 4. I want to talk tonight, the Lord helping me, on what I'm going to call biblical kindness. And it's interesting that we think we're kind, but we're not always biblically kind. Now, I got to be careful here because this is a balance. Now, young men, I'm going to hit you pretty hard between the eyes. So are you okay with that? I got one. Samuel's the life of the party, they told me. So if he gets quiet during the preaching, we know he's under conviction heavy. But this is a balance here. Because you look at the scriptures, and God took people's lives for touching the Ark of the Covenant. And I think independent Baptists, we like that type of life. I just be honest, God's been dealing with me about this, and 2 days ago in my office, I had to apologize to my daughter because she sat down at my desk, and she's looking at something, and I thought she was reading one of the letters that I was sending to somebody, and I said, nosy, because I can, I'm her dad. And I said, you don't read what you're not, and I got on her, and then I started working, and I looked over, and she's had tears flowing down her face. I said, what's wrong? I said, you need to take correction, right? You know, because I'm the dad. I'm just being honest with you. This is 2 nights ago. She's like, Dad, I was just looking at the picture on the letter. And you know what I had to do? Come here. I'm sorry. Dad was wrong. But we have this idea that, you know, bless God, we're fundamentalists. And it's our way or the highway. And kind of what Pastor said, there's three colleges coming through. You know what? If God sends you to one, praise the Lord. Go. Follow God's will. Why should I be upset about that? But we have this mindset that if you don't do it my way, you're backslidden. Well, maybe I'm backslidden. And you're doing it right. So biblical kindness. And I don't want this to sound soft because I'm not really a soft guy. I coach wrestling back home. I like to yell and scream a lot. I like to see blood on the mat. I like when the boys sweat. And I love it. So there's an element in us. I'm not talking about what we like to call a wuss society because we kind of have a feminine society, young men. And I'm anti that. Because when God saved the Corinthians, he talked about effeminate. And when they were saved, he says, such were some of you. I don't think God wants men to be effeminate. So I'm not talking about when you walk to the bank, this guy's like, hello. That's not biblical kindness. It's just not. And I think we can look at the scriptures in this text and find what biblical kindness is all about. A lady by the name of Mamie Adams, she always went to a branch post office in her town because the postal employees there were friendly. She went there to buy stamps just before Christmas one year, and the lines were particularly long. Someone pointed out that there was no need to wait in line because there was a stamp machine in the lobby. She said, I know that, but the machine won't ask me about my arthritis. You know, this world's looking for kindness. And frankly, I was reminded of this text not too long ago. We take our boys, our last tournament of the year is over in Rockford at a Lutheran high school. And one of our young men wrestled one of the students from the Rockford Lutheran High School. He was a senior in high school. And our young men won the match. It was a good match, so forth. Well, we were going back this last January, and before we went, one of the men in our church sent me an article about the young man that wrestled for Rockford Lutheran High School. The article was he committed suicide. He took his life. I scratch my head and think, why does a 17 or 18-year-old young person, when their life is what I would say full speed ahead, why do they take their life? Now, I don't know. I don't know the kid well. I shook his hand, but I thought, I wonder if somewhere in his home, somewhere in his school, and again, I hate the terms, bullying and all this type of thing, but frankly, we just live in a violent and an angry world. Why is there so much murder? You know why? Because they're just following their father, the devil, because he is a murderer. He is a liar. He's the father of it. And so we live in a violent and an angry world because the devil is the prince of this world. He's the god of this world, the scripture says. You go to a basketball game, you go to a baseball game, you go to a hockey game. And what brings the crowd to their feet? Violence. I'm there to watch them shoot a three, slam dunk it, but when they're swinging and when there's, you know, just recently somebody was spitting in somebody's face and the crowd comes to their feet, you know why? Because of violence. And our video game world is violent. You know why? Because the devil controls this world. You read about the maniac in Mark chapter 5. What was he doing? Is there not cutting going on today? It's pretty rampant. I was at our local high school Monday talking to the principal there. I said, how's it going? It's his first year there. He said, man, we're just on the eve. We had 4 suicides at our high school last year. And I got in trouble last year because I asked the kid if they go to church. I didn't say, will you come to church? And I almost got kicked out of going into the high school. See, they've got it. They want the answers, but this is the only answer. They don't want to hear Jesus. And so you look at the maniac and you see he was literally controlled by Satan. And I had this thought, Pastor. He was filled with Satan, therefore he was violent. And I don't want this to sound spooky, but if we were filled with God, it would be anti-Satan. It'd be kindness. And I want to just dwell on that a little bit if I could. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 31. Ephesians chapter 4. I don't know, is it your custom to stand? Let's go ahead and do that. I don't want to do anything that I shouldn't. I'm almost off the runway. Verse number 31, the Bible says this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind, one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Biblical kindness. Would you pray with me and for me tonight that we can look at the scriptures and get God's definition of kindness? Lord, help me tonight. I'm so privileged to be behind this pulpit. Thank you for Pastor Ross, his wife, their faithfulness, the many that have served in the bus ministry here, the different ministries, God. This church doesn't function without faithful people. More than that, it doesn't function without Christ. And I pray that you would take the time that we have. Help me to be a blessing. I don't want to be rude and crude. I don't want to say anything I shouldn't. I just want to be a help somehow. I just pray that you'd let us leave here tonight knowing that you met with us and that your word helped us. Thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This last Saturday, before I headed up to Michigan, we finished up our candy sale. Now, you'll have to understand, our candy sale is quite unique. We go for 12 days, and we have about 125 kids in our Christian school, and the final total after 12 days was $410,000. That's a lot of candy, and it's a lot of money. And this is the first year our family was the top. We actually were the top in school. We hit $25,000 for our 4 kids. Now you say, that's kind of cute. That's neat. Where are you going with this? Well, we pretty much go to different cities and we go business to business. I mean, they just go in and they ask, who do you ask, Harris? Everyone. I don't care if they're on the street, if they're walking through the parking lot. I say you ask everyone. You don't pass up anybody. So pretty much we jump in the car around 8 o'clock in the morning and we get home at 7 o'clock at night for 12 days. She's worn out. My 10-year-old daughter's worn out. My 13-year-old son's worn out. My 16-year-old son's worn out. Before we leave the area we're in, they're almost pretty much all sleeping. They leave me on my own to drive, and I'm tired, but we just go, and we ask people, and there's people that'll buy a box, but there's some people that'll just, for Titus, they handed him a $200 check. Now, it's interesting to note, we do it in the fall and the spring, so in about 6 months, here we go again. We'll drive into this town where they've done every business, gas station, restaurant, bowling alley, Walmart, whatever, they've been there, lobbies of hotels, we just send them everywhere. They will remember that place. Now, they don't remember I told them to clean the room that morning. But 6 months later, they'll remember, I went there and I sold this amount. They'll know the layout of the land. You know why? Because there's something in their mind about somebody was kind to them. I don't know what jogged Karis's memory when we pulled into the parking lot today, but she said, I've been here before. I went to Sunday school here. Now, you just took it up a notch because she got this heavy bag tonight. So, you know, she's not going to remember the name of the pastor. She's not going to remember the name of the church, but I know what she's going to remember. That's the church I got the birthday bag from. Because there's something in all of us that remembers the element of kindness. I'll be traveling and working with the college. We have students come over and then they'll be gone and we'll go to their house while we're out on the road wherever the ministry the Lord takes them to. And we'll be talking like, we went to your house one time. I'm like, you did? They'll tell me the meal that they had. Because there's an element in all of us that remembers kindness. And so I think it would be good for us to just say, Lord, would you fill us with yourself? Would you fill us with your spirit, with your attitude, with your action? And when that happens, I believe we will be kind because the world is looking for kindness. Now, I get it. They want handouts. They want the free food. I get it. But they are looking for genuine kindness. Let's look at it real quick. Number one, I see in this text, the demand. The demand. It's simple. Be kind. There's some things that are suggested. This here is not suggested. It is a command. God looks down, or Paul writes. Now, where's Paul writing this from? Anybody want to help me out? He's writing this from prison. This is what we call the prison epistles. Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Philemon. If I was sitting in the prison where Paul was writing to the Ephesians, I probably would not be thinking kindness. I've been thinking, let's do something to these soldiers. Let's do something to these leaders that put us here. But Paul writes from prison this idea of kindness. Be kind. What does the word kind mean? Well, I had to look it up just to make sure I'm not making these things up. It simply says this. It's the word kind means disposed to do good to others. Now get this next phrase. And to make them happy by granting their requests. Now again, kids are like, oh yeah, Dad and Mom, are you listening close? Your job is to make me happy by granting my request. Now, hopefully we're not going to go that route tonight. But the point is, my job as I'm out, when people come and they say, could you help me? Why wouldn't I help them? That's really what the word means. It's just disposed to helping people, make them happy. Here's another word. Ladies are really good at this one. Another definition. Goodwill. I'm not talking about the store. My wife's really good at that. But the Bible says when Jesus came, the angel said, peace on earth, goodwill to... God was saying, I'm sending kindness to this world. So here, it's a command. It's the definition in of itself. Just simply be kind. Listen to what Luke chapter 6 says. You don't need to turn to verse number 35. Jesus says, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. Get this last phrase in verse 35. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. You know, it is natural to love them that love you. But it's supernatural to love them that don't love you. And our God has a supernatural love where he looks down and he finds the people that are unthankful and he finds the people that are evil and he finds the people that are unholy and he says, I want to show my kindness to them. That's our God. But I find that in my home, in a structured home where we teach the Bible and we preach, that there's this thing we call arguing. Any parents ever have that problem? And it, frankly, it drives me nuts. We just finished a little thing in our house. We had these, what I call life cups, giving cups. And all my kids had names on their cup, and we had names on the cup, and I put money in there. And every time I heard an argument, we took money out of their cup and put it in our cup, and so forth. And when we heard something good, but I found that it was a constant battle, up and down. One day they were kind, and the next day they were angry. And I'm fighting that as a parent because brothers and sisters should not be. And even in Christian homes, what I found is There's a lot of arguing and strife. And then the Holy Spirit says, well, maybe, Eric, they're picking it up from you. Novel thought. Maybe they're watching how I react to my wife or how she's reacting to me and saying, well, Mom and Dad do that. Are you with me tonight? I'm talking about biblical kindness. It's commanded for a reason. Seven times in the scriptures, God has to tell us, love the Lord thy God with all their heart. You know what? It shouldn't be commanded because you think somebody died for me. Wish it should just naturally happen, but it doesn't. So we have to be commanded. It's commanded for wives to, what's that bad word? Submit. You know why? Because it's not natural. And it's commanded for husbands to do what? Because it's not natural, because I love me. And so God knows as he writes the scriptures to us, this idea of being kind is not natural. That's why it is demanded. Can I give you number two? First of all is the demand. Number two, the direction. This is really hard. I have one line in my notes. Look at the next three words. I need a young person here. Young lady that played the piano, can you look down after it says be kind? There's three more words. Can you tell me what that is? What they are? Verse 32. Nope, you're ahead of me. You're way ahead of me. You are down the road. Be ye kind. Next three words. One to another. All right, so I need some wisdom over here from Lucas. What in the world does that mean? I like that. What about to him, though? He's like, no. Did you say yes? Oh, okay. He's like, you don't know him. This church, and I don't know the needs. I don't know if there's strife between brother, sister. That's sin. Because the Bible simply says, be kind one to another. This is not deep, folks. But my job is to be kind to this young man and this old fella. And my new college student that's coming to visit us. But you know what we should do? We should be looking for people to be kind to. There's some things that would make you happy that wouldn't make me happy. So I don't want to do the things that doesn't really make her happy. I want to be kind, so I'm going to try to make her happy. I want to make her smile. I like when young ladies smile. Could you do it for me? Fake it? Striking out here, Pastor. The demand is be kind. The direction is help me out one to another. Number three, I call this the depth. Now, could you say the next word after that? Because you were ahead of me. Just the one big word there. Tenderhearted. Now, you'll have to excuse me because when I read that word, it kind of gives me. I'm just so irritated with this world, feminine world. Right. I'm just telling, when I read this word, that's kind of what I have in my mind. And that's wrong because it's not what the word means. Right. But that's what I think. I like tender meat, but I just don't think a guy tender should not be a characteristic of his. Right. You with me? But this is biblical kindness, and that's why I think we need to touch it. The depth of our kindness says we need to be tender-hearted. Here it is. The word means to have great sensibility. Okay? You ever heard of being sensitive to somebody? Okay? Emily? If your mom sends you to a hot stove and you put your hand on the hot stove, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think there any noise will escape from your lips? Probably. Gwen, you think that's going to happen too? So when both these girls go and they do this, it's probably going to be, ah! What that is her senses told her hot. Are we deep? Is this too deep? Kids are with me tonight? Because I'm really feeling bad you had to listen to me and not go to Master Clubs. I'm really apologetic about that. For you that had to stay in here. But this is what typically happens. Let's just say Brother Morris came up to pray tonight, and on the way up, he hit the deck. Now, most of our senses would be, that's our natural reaction, right? But biblical kindness says that doesn't happen. Our natural reaction should be, instead of to, can I help you? When I see somebody struggling, it's like my senses immediately say, can I help you? Teenagers, I'll just tell you what, I'm on your team. I get so tired when preachers like skin them alive. When I go to camps and youth conferences, like, you're going to skin them alive? No. You know what I want to do? I want to help them. Mm-hmm. I want to help you. I'm not here to make you look bad and hurt you. You get enough of that. You know what I want to do? If you're down, I want to pick you up. But when I'm not being biblically kind, guess what I do? I push you down. But I can't because I'm the dad, I'm the youth pastor, I'm the whatever. We got to be careful. That's anti-God. And so this depth is from the heart. Tender-hearted. And 10 minutes. Number four, can I move on? Number four, the duty. Be ye kind is the demand. The direction is, help me out. All right, two of you with me. All right, one to another. The depth. All right, the duty. Here we go. Part of this kindness is forgiving one another. Can I just say real simple? I'll move on with this. Learn to forgive people. This girl right here that's sitting in the church with me, when I whoop her, and we do, I don't understand it, but as soon as we're done whooping her, she turns around, grabs my leg, and says, I love you, Daddy. Every time. I'm like, I just whooped you. I don't get it. Now, what type of a parent would I be if when she did that, I pushed her away and said, you don't even realize who you just disobeyed? I'm an evangelist. You know what I do every time? Put my arm around her. I don't know if I say Daddy loves you, but I say, we're okay. And it's fun. Not the spanking part. She's like, it is? But we want people to forgive us. But when they come to us and ask forgiveness, like, did you really mean it? No. Did you really mean it? But that's our duty in kindness. Did you know that our kids are going to let us down? They are. Did you know I'm going to let them down? And I kind of want, when I apologized to Marissa the other night, I was kind of glad she says, it's okay, Daddy. It made me feel good. So when she comes to me, guess what I should do? It's okay, hon. We'll be okay. Let's move ahead. And what I've seen is there's a lot of homes, excuse me, and I can't say this about your church, but a lot of homes in our church over the years, when kids would come to ask forgiveness from their parents, it was, why would they want to fellowship with you when they're 25 and 30 years old? And I'm thinking about this stuff now because I got a teenager and another one just joined the 13-year-old rank and another more are coming, and I don't want to push them away and push them away and expect them, well, you just come and bow to me because I'm your dad. No, I need to show them the love of God. Is this making sense or am I just talking? This is what God's dealing with me about because, frankly, I stink in this area of kindness. And God's saying, you know what? You talk about being kind, but I want you to have biblical kindness. So forgiving one another. Number five, quickly, the director. What does it say? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Titus is preaching for our youth conference in a week and a half. He's preaching on forgiveness. It's about 3.5-minute sermon. But he's preaching about this. Man, I said some things to Titus, I don't know, 6 months ago. He's not my toughest kid. He's kind of like the tender, not hearted, but tender one. So I've been pushing him. And I went off on him one day. And the Holy Spirit of God said, you were wrong. And I did stoop down and say, Titus, I'm wrong. Will you forgive me? We got right. Because that's what God does. He forgives.
He forgives.
And so let's just say my brother that led the songs tonight, he gets up and said, we're going to sing. And he starts leading. And you're like, I don't like that song. I want to sing one that I want to sing. And so this guy's singing that song. And that guy's singing that song. She's singing that song. What is that? Chaos. So what happens is he gets up and he might go slower than I would like or faster than I would like, whatever the case may be. And we all do our own thing. It's chaos. And so when he says the downbeat's here, the piano player should be on the downbeat and upbeat and so forth, all those things I don't understand. But we've got to follow the director. And when Christians follow the director, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you, we look and we're just kind of falling in line. When God says forgive, on cue, on time. Frankly, cut time. Right now. I just have a hard time thinking of Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them. It really makes the things that I feel mistreated really simple and minuscule when I think of that. And he didn't even deserve it. But he simply said, Father, forgive them. I'd like to close with an illustration. It goes along with what I started with about a young man committing suicide. So if I can read this, I'll be done in, I think, 5 minutes. I read this. I heard a preacher tell the illustration. I found it, and so I'll read through it so I don't mess it up. One day when I was a freshman in high school, I saw a kid from my class walking home from school. His name was Kyle. It looked like he was carrying all of his books. I thought to myself, why would anyone bring home all his books on a Friday? He must really be a nerd. I had quite a weekend planned, parties, a football game with my friends, and so forth, so I just shrugged my shoulders, passed them up, and went on. As I was walking, I saw a bunch of kids running toward him. They ran at him, knocking all his books out of his arms and tripping him so he landed in the dirt. His glasses went flying, and I saw them land in the grass about 10 feet from him. He looked up, and I saw this terrible sadness in his eyes. My heart went out to him. So I jogged over to him as he crawled around looking for his glasses, and I saw a tear in his eye. As I handed him his glasses, I said, those guys are real jerks, aren't they? They really should get a life. He looked at me and said, hey, thanks. There was now a big smile on his face. It was one of those smiles that showed real gratitude. I helped him pick up his books and asked him where he lives. As it turned out, he lived near me, so I asked him why I'd never seen him before. He said he had gone to private school before now. I'd never would have hung out with a private school kid before. We talked all the way home, and I carried his books. He turned out to be a pretty nice kid. I asked him if he wanted to play football with me, on Saturday with me and my friends. He said yes. We hung out all the week, and the more I got to know Kyle, the more I liked him. And my friends thought the same of him. Monday morning came, and there was Kyle with a huge stack of books again. I stopped and said, man, you're going to build some serious muscles with these books coming back and forth every day. He laughed and handed me half the books. Over the next 4 years, Kyle and I became best friends. When we were seniors, we began to think about college. Kyle decided on Georgetown, and I was going to Duke. I was going to be a doctor, he was going to be a doctor, and I was going for business on a football scholarship. Kyle was valedictorian of our class. I teased him all the time about being a nerd. He had to prepare a speech for graduation, and I'm so glad it wasn't me, he says, to get up there and speak. Graduation day, I saw Kyle. He looked great. He was one of those guys that really found himself during high school. He filled out and actually looked good in glasses. He had more dates than me, and all the girls liked him. Boy, sometimes I was jealous, and today was one of those days. I could see that he was nervous about his speech, so I smacked him on the back and said, hey, big guy, you'll be great. He looked at me with one of those looks, those really grateful ones, and smiled. Thanks, he said. As he started his speech, he cleared his throat and began, graduation is a time to thank those who helped you make it through those tough years. Parents, teachers, siblings, maybe a coach, but mostly your friends. He said, I'm here to tell all of you that being a friend to someone is the best gift you can give them. I'm going to tell you a story. The writer says, I just looked at my friend with disbelief as he told the story of the first day we met. He had planned to kill himself over the weekend. He talked of how he had cleaned out his locker so his mom wouldn't have to do it later and was carrying all of his stuff home that day. He looked hard at me and gave me a little smile. In his speech, he said, thankfully, I was saved. My friend saved me from doing the unspeakable. I heard a gasp go through the crowd as this handsome, popular boy told us all about his weakest moment. I saw his mom and dad looking at me, smiling that same grateful smile. Not until that moment did I realize its depth. Never underestimate the power of your actions. With one small gesture, you can change a person's life for better or for worse. And just in short, I think, what did this kid do? He just simply went over, picked up some books, handed him glasses, but that started something. Just a little act of kindness. Young people, learn to be kind. It's a natural reaction to laugh and mock and make fun, but you never know how you can hurt one of those bus kids that come, that maybe, excuse me, girls, that may have been molested that week. And you could just simply go and extend something to them. Say, I'm praying for you. Not even knowing their situation. It could change the direction of that kid's life. I know I'm in a church that has outreach. You got those red buses. I get it. But sometimes we need to go beyond just our routine. I'm preaching to myself here, so please, I'm not preaching at you. Beyond the routine and find somebody to say, I'm just going to extend this idea of kindness. And little kids in homes, man, learn this. Because I believe our churches are made up and a lot of church splits and so forth because people never got over kind, not got, never, re, whatever, you know what I'm trying to say. They miss kindness in their upbringing. And now they're adults and everything is strife. And I'm floored by some things that pastors tell me, how people, the fighting in churches. I'm like, it's like kids. But then when I have to look at it, I look at, introspect my life and say, you know what? I'm no different. I like to justify my lack of kindness. Right. Righteous indignation. But this is what I think is biblical kindness. And I just felt like the Lord wanted me to share that, what God's been dealing with me. Because do we want kind homes, that parents? But I think when you have kind homes, you'll have a kind church. And it's fun. And people are like, man, you know, I don't like that church, but I can't say they're kind there. Isn't that what we want? Because we're filled with God. And when you're filled with God, there's no violence, anger. And that's what verse 31 is. Bitterness is gone. Wrath is gone. Clamor, evil speaking, malice. It's all gone. And we're kind. I hope this helps. Lord, use this in our lives, in my life. I sure need this. And I hope I didn't, I'm not here to offend people, but I just think we need to look at a biblical description of kindness. Thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. I hope I was a help.